Good morning, everyone. I am sorry I'm a couple minutes late. I was actually in the middle of shooting you guys a video. And so I was recording and I kind of got on a tear towards the end. And I was like, oh, it's like I'm either going to be late or I'm going to have to cut this video off. And I didn't want to jack it. But I shot tomorrow's Weekend Motivator. So you'll be getting that tomorrow morning. It's really good. It's all about self-love and some thoughts on how to love yourself more. So today is going to be Q&A. I'm going to go ahead and pull up our channel where I take all the questions. So if you have a question, just use hashtag ask, and then you can ask me anything that you want. Let me see if there's anything exciting. So I'm headed to Dallas while we're waiting for some questions to come in. I am headed to Dallas today. In fact, the second this is over, we're going to hopefully cut this one off a little short today because I have to get to the airport. So my flight leaves. It's not that long from now. So I have to get finished with my packing. I'm not done packing. I have to get my laptop synced up because I've got work to do on the plane. So I'm like that person who's rushing to the end to get out of the house, but it'll be good. So if anybody has questions, now's the time to ask. Let's see, what are we doing with the gift of fat? So what is today? Thursday? Oh my God. So tomorrow's my birthday. Totally forgot about that. I will be in Dallas teaching, which is exciting. And then, we just don't have any big plans for my birthday. I'm going back to Las Vegas in August with the entire, PMP team. So this is our annual, once a year, we all get together. We take 3 days off. And we just do some yearly planning. We're going to be doing a photo shoot. And then we're just going to all hang out and celebrate. And they're all able to bring a plus one with them. And so we're doing that the first weekend in August. And so I'm kind of gearing up and getting some stuff ready for that. And I'm working on the new time management plan program for next month. That's going to be our big program in August, is we're going to do time management. And we are almost finalized with the new planner. So before you guys ask me, Kathy Hartman is actually taking over the tail end piece where she's doing all of the instructions for it. So as you know, when you order a planner, you get instructions. And so she's taking over that part, making sure that everything's really clear. We have with our planner, one of the things that I've changed is, so I spent the last year like using our old one, and then I kind of used a bunch of different planners over the last year trying to figure out, like, okay, now that we have like our base model, what would be the, like, kind of like the planner of my dreams. And so I kind of came up with that. So you're going to notice a lot of really cool changes when we get it into the system. We're going to have our 24-hour plans now are on one page where there is the plan and the assessment is together. And the assessment has got more questions than ever. Like, it's more journaly questions. We also have journal pages that we have now. And those journal pages are really good. So for those of you who are like all freaked out about like, I don't really understand thought downloads, models, and all the things, I crafted journal pages that ask very specific questions that I think are the most important for weight loss and for your life. And then we have guided models. So like the model section is going to tell you about, like, you know, pull one fact out, and then it'll say like, choose a thought, you know, and it kind of reminds you of what everything is. And then, like, when you were thinking that, how did it make you feel? One word. So it's very clear as to how to do it. So one of the things that I'm hoping is that with this new planner for all of you, I know a lot of you are like, I love the idea of the thought work and I love all the things, but oh Lord, nose is just itching. But one of the things is, it's like you get thrown off because of those CTFAR, and it's like, I think I'm doing it wrong. So I'm giving you more instructions, so that should be a little bit easier. And there's, well, Lucy, she just, I think, I don't know if she fell off the thing or what. It's really just, it's going to be good. So there's a lot of changes to it. The weekly planners and different things all changed. Let's see. There are some questions about the gift of fat. Do they do everything from the prior week with the new week. Like, keep water next week as well as what's new. We've answered this several times. Guys, it's just each week. Now, if you want to continue to do it, that's fine. But you don't have to. So, like, if you want to just work on water one week, and then the week that we're working on, you know, whatever. Like, this week is the squats, push-ups, and crunches stuff, right? Oh, gosh, my nose. You can just tell it's that time of year here. If you're working, like, if you're doing that this week and you don't want to continue that next week, you don't have to. This is really for me to give you all the things to do that are going to help accelerate weight loss. And you're just going to pick and choose the ones that you really like. And if you get into the habit of it, notice you feel better, guess what you should probably do? Keep doing it. You shouldn't be like, well, I didn't see a Facebook post and massive action line notice from Corinne. I should probably quit doing something healthy for myself. No. If it feels good and you like it and you're doing it and it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be, I'd probably put that shit on rinse and repeat and keep doing it. What do you suggest for big decisions, not giving a shit what other people think? So I'm assuming what you mean is I need to make a big decision and I need to not give a shit about what other people think. I don't think that you have to not give a shit. Like, here's the thing. You just don't need to let their opinion and what you think they're going to think or what they might say. You don't need to give it more value than what you think. There is a difference between, like, you know, like, there are just people in the world, I don't give a shit what they think. I don't know them. Why would I care, right? They're rank strangers. Doesn't matter to me. But if I'm going to make a big decision and Chris has an opinion, I'm not going to be like, well, I don't give a shit. Like, I would never do that. I love him. I love my mother. I love my team. I love my mentor. Like, there are all kinds of people in the world that I love. I love you guys. When you guys give me opinions, I don't be like, well, I don't give a shit. This is what we're doing. This is a good decision. Like, I never do that. I always think. I always just listen. I think a lot of you guys, it's like, well, sometimes you guys, like go too hard on not giving a shit rather than being like, I'm just open to all the opinions. I'm sure they're going to give me one. And it's like, I'm going to make this decision. I want to know if people are worried. I want to know if they have a different opinion. Maybe they're thinking something I'm not. I think the main thing is be open to the idea that other people have opinions. Be open to the idea that they have the right to tell you their opinion. Like, you know, most of us live in the United States. People have a right to say what they want. We got free speech here. Let them talk. You also have freedom of thought, which means that if you totally disagree or you think your opinion is more valid, be nice and move on and do your shit. But most of you, what you do is like, you want to say like, well, I don't want to give a shit about what anybody thinks because I don't want them to dissuade me. Nobody can dissuade you. You're always ultimately making a decision. Let's say you make a big decision and somebody, like, half your family comes in and disagrees with you and tells you all the things and rah, 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 and we know this, blah, blah, blah. And you choose to do what they say because you're like, well, you know, they didn't agree with me and that makes me feel bad. It's like, no, if you choose to follow their opinion, you have said, this is you. My opinion is no longer noted. My opinion is no longer the important one. Theirs is now. That's on you. That's not on them sharing with you. And here's the thing. When you're making a decision, guess what you're doing? You're telling them your opinion. I always love when you guys get pissed that you're telling someone else your opinion of what you're going to do. Because it is not the truth. It's your opinion. And then you get pissed when their opinion isn't exactly the same. Like, they should support me. It's like, when they're giving you their opinion, they probably are supporting you. Because they think you're going to make a big fucking mistake. They may be wrong, but in their mind, you're wrong. Like, what if everybody can just feel like they're right, and then you just do whatever you think's right for you and allow them to not agree and allow them to share their opinion? Just like, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the easiest way to go through life. But for all of you who are, like, very justified and solid that everyone should agree with you at all times and everyone should be supportive with you 100% at all times and stuff. Y'all's life fucking sucks half the time. I'm going to tell you, y'all bitch way more than the rest of us who are just like, I'm going to let everybody tell me some stuff. Because I never also know when somebody's actually going to tell me something I didn't freaking think about because I was so in tunnel vision that my decision was right. I'm telling you, it makes a whole big a difference. Like with Chris, very often we have very differing opinions on how to run this business. I mean, I could be very justified and be like, I'm the queen. This is my business. I know what's best. I'm in there all the time. I got 1,001 reasons why I'm number one. But I'm also like, but I love him. And you know what? He's not in here all the time. He has such a different point of view. Why would I not listen to that? The only time that I would be upset by it is when I'm making it mean something about me. And I see this often with you guys. Somebody else's opinion will be different, and you make it mean that you think they think you're wrong, stupid, not good enough, that they don't love you. That's where the horseshit is. It's not in their stated opinion. I'm at the point where I'm questioning to stay in the tribe to pay for the support, essentially. But I know this is the point where, since the scale isn't moving like I want, that I would quit or try it on my own, which in the past, I don't follow through. So you have plenty of evidence that you like to quit for relief, so that when you're not having support, you're not seeing success, you're like, when you see other people's success, when you see all this accountability and stuff, it's tapping on you not doing your work. So rather than doing the work, you're saying like, well, I should probably quit. That's what I ought to do. Then I won't have to be irritated because I'm constantly seeing what I'm not doing. It's just, wait till you listen to tomorrow's weekend motivator. I literally just talked about this. So many of us do this. We think the answer when we're struggling and we're not doing our work is to remove ourselves from reminders that we're not showing up the way we would like to show up for ourselves, rather than digging in to what we need to be doing for ourselves. It's like, this is where I struggle, not giving up and following through. Where's where I struggle? Here's what I would do. I mean, you could quit struggling and quit. That's one way to quit struggling. You can quit, stop paying, and have no reminders of anything that you're doing that's against yourself right now. But let me just tell you, when you quit, all that shit you're not doing is sitting right there. That comes along with you quitting. It is not like when you quit, somehow all that goes away. There's just temporary relief. That's all there is to it. I'm going to do it on my own. You've already proven yourself. You can't do it on your own. You just said it in your own sentence. Now, if you want to try it on your own, I'm all for it. But I'm just going to tell you right now, like, if you already say it, the same thing's just going to have to keep, it's going to keep happening. So why not just do something different? Rather than shying away from feeling bad, why not just be like, all right, let's just write shit down. Like, this is what I would invite all of you to do that struggle with this, is write everything down that you do, all of it. Like, write down every single day a 24-hour plan, and then assess that shit that you don't do every single day. Make yourself see the reality of what you're living in, rather than living in the reality of feeling like shit because you know you're not doing stuff. I mean, like, you're struggling so hard over there. You're saying it right now. It's like, I'm struggling and I'm wanting to quit. It's like, that is a lot of mental anguish. And you can solve it by quitting every single time, guys. I'm going to tell you, it's always an option. It is. So many of us do it. Like, you quit like thousands of times. The problem is that when you quit things, like, look at the result. You end up coming back to something else, thinking it's all going to be different the next time, all this other junk. You just repeat the cycle. So rather than solving the struggle this time and making the struggle part end with a quit, make the struggle part end with, like, you know what? I love myself enough to just start being really honest. I'm going to write everything down. Right now, I'm not even going to change what I eat. I'm just going to, like, freaking know what I am and am not doing and be curious and ask myself, all right, if I keep planning perfect food and every day I end up having to write down a binge, why do I continue to plan perfect food? And why do I continue to binge? What is the pull there? Maybe I should ask one of them coaches. I should get curious, not beat myself up over it. I should be like, huh, maybe I keep trying to plan perfectly rather than planning realistically. Maybe I should give that lesson a try. And you start piecing together the little things. But what most of you are like interested in is like, I'm not interested in piecing together little things. It's like, here's what I want, Corinne. I want to join. I want to immediately lose weight. I want everything to click. I want to start loving myself and I want to think the perfect thoughts. That is what most of you think is going to happen. That's not happening with listening to some videos. Ever. But what does happen is for those of you who love yourself enough to be like, and I'm glad you posted. I notice I'm wanting to quit. Am I going to do what I always do? Or am I going to do something radically different this time? Am I willing to make the struggle end by like saying, all right, I'm not going to struggle. Here's what I'm going to do. 30 straight days, honest plans, write every single thing down, no matter what. And that's the way it's going to be. And I'm not going to beat myself up for the next 30 days. I am literally going to like have an honest look at what I choose, how it makes me feel physically. Like a lot of you that really struggle with this part, like being consistent. I coached someone yesterday. You may want to listen to the coaching call I did yesterday. I forget what her name was. I think she was the second or third caller. She's really struggling and stuff. One of the things is like, for a month, be willing to write it all down, every ounce of it. Plan very realistically and don't plan yet to change things. If you feel like you want to make a change and it legit is coming from, I really want to, I love myself enough to do this, then that's the change you make. But if you're making a plan and you're doing it, and you're doing it from a place of, I have to do this. This is not working. This will never work like this. If it's very punitive, stop. Stop practicing punitive planning. Stop practicing punitive behaviors and expecting to get a loving result. It cannot happen. It does not happen. Will the new planner be available in the planner fillers as well? Yeah, we're going to put it together. We're going to have refills so you guys don't have to buy new binders. Now, I will say, most of you don't know this. The binder, I think it's this last run that we just did for this group, is larger than the old binder because when we did the June opening, we now have a no BS workbook that you can, like just a filler pages with three hole punch. It's the same no BS that's on the website, guys. So if you print it yourself, it's not like there's a special workbook out there that you only have to order. But we, now beginners, when they join the tribe, they can order the workbook plus the planner all in one shot, which just makes it easier for people who join. I forget being somebody who works from home. Two people now that work from home, we have a printer, a really nice one. Most people don't own a printer anymore. You know, that's like old school. So we made sure that we put it in the fulfillment center because we have people that literally don't even have staples and stuff around them to be able to get it printed. Can you tell us about August? What are we going to learn? It's all about like time, managing time, the concept of your busy, your time, like being able, like, how, what do you choose to put in your time? It's all going to be about time. I've been writing my night overeats on my plans for a while. Sometimes I eat them and sometimes I don't. Still do recovery worksheets on them. What's the next step? If you're eating them and they're on the plan, you don't have to do a recovery worksheet. Just so you know, the next step would be to start backing some of them out. So rather than putting them on every single night, challenge yourself to be like, all right, tonight's the night that I plan to not have the snack and be prepared for that. And that way you'll be able to tell yourself, and tomorrow it will be on the plan. And then get used to just not having it at night and listening to what goes on in your brain and proving to yourself that it's like not as bad as you thought. And it also gives you an opportunity to practice the loving thoughts. Like guys, sometimes like when you don't plan to have something at night, you guys forget that that's an opportunity to practice loving yourself through the process. You guys think it's an opportunity to like hang on, brace, and hope to fuck you don't die. Like, and you wonder why it's a little on the rough side when you do it. Like, telling yourself before you go into it, this is an opportunity to practice, you know, like sitting with some discomfort. It's an opportunity for me to practice breathing through it. It's an opportunity for me to practice listening to what I think about, redirecting my thoughts. When we think about it like that, it is so much easier to actually do it. I think I've lost my plus two. We can't lose a plus two, guys. Stop saying that. If you're not stopping at plus two, just say, I've stopped stopping at plus two. It doesn't just go someplace. That'd be like going, Kryn, I think I might have lost my stomach. I'm not sure what happened. I don't even know how I'm alive. I think someone might have came and taken it in the middle of the night. No. I'm getting the basics in, but I'm just maintaining, which makes me feel like I'm eating too much. Yeah, you're choosing to eat too much. So you have data that says I'm not losing weight, which means I need to dial my plus two back. A lot of times what happens, like you don't need to find your plus two again. You need to eat less food. Like literally eat a little bit less than what you've been eating. This is what happens a lot of time with weight loss, Elisa, especially if you've had like a lot of weight to lose. Sometimes your plus two at like 220 pounds will be like a plus three or four at 170 pounds. You don't need as much food the smaller you get. But you get it's very easy to get used to eating to a certain amount visually, serving size wise, and that kind of stuff. And you get into the habit of this is about how much food it takes. And then all of a sudden you stop losing weight. And it's like, oh, I didn't really start dialing back. Like it takes less food to get this body around. And guys, that's just the natural part of the process. It does not take much food for me to maintain 150. It just doesn't. I remember being sad about it. I was like, well, be sad, but be happy that you weigh 150. And eventually you're not sad over it anymore. But just allow yourself to be like, you know what? It's probably less food. And listen for the crazy that's going to come up. Like, oh my gosh, less food. I thought it would be like... That is all thoughts about it. But your body is giving you a fact. You need to dial it back a little bit on where you're eating with your till you're satisfied. And you'll notice, like, guys, I'm going to tell you, as you lose weight, especially for my Queen's Club members, as you guys lose weight, you are going to eat lower and lower and lower. That's just the way it is. It doesn't take as much food to get this size body around as it did 20 pounds ago, 40 pounds ago, 80 pounds ago. It's just less food. That is called physiology. Now, I know it's natural to kind of like mourn that a little bit, to be like, oh, you know, that's kind of sad. I really enjoy the eating. That's when we start working on, can you still enjoy the food without having to eat more than what your body needs in the moment? Can you still hang on to the idea of like, I get to eat what I want? It just isn't like this much. It's more like this much. That's the only thing that's changed. Everything else is how I'm thinking about it. I feel so defeated. I start my day strong and do all the things, but as the day goes on, I start having effort moments. How can I snap into what doing what I say I'll do all day? You need to track the effort moments. Okay, that's the first thing, that every single one of them have to be on your plan. You cannot sit there and say like, I'm having effort moments, and you're not going back and writing them in so that you can see exactly what time, exactly what kind of foods you choose, exactly what kind of thoughts or emotions are triggering it. That's going to take a little bit for you to track so you can see all of it. What happens is as you continue to track and stuff, the effort moments become more and more apparent during the day. What happens when we're just doing it and we're not tracking it, we're not really digging into it and asking why and all this other stuff, what happens is that they're just happening, Kryn. I couldn't even tell you why. I'm like, well, show me all your logs. Show me where you tracked exactly what time it happened and what you ate and how much and what you were thinking. Well, I don't have that. Well, no fucking shit if you don't know what's going on then. It's like, don't sit there and pretend like it's a big mystery. It will not, guys, it will not unveil itself to you or reveal patterns and stuff just organically. You're going to have to work for it. If you want to end fuck it, you got to work for it. Rather than sitting around beating yourself up, get out a sheet of paper and write that shit down. Like, you need to have every single thing that you can think of. Just like Beth just said, my F it moments happen when I'm stressed at work. That's too generalistic. I want to know exactly how many, exactly what times they were. Like, track it like your life depended on it. Track it like you'd like to end it. All of you, when it comes to this stuff, track, like if this stuff makes, is something, if I sat around and felt defeated and I was like stress eating, I would be like, I'm fucking solving this. I'm not just going to sit around and feel defeated. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get busy figuring out what the hell's going on. I'm not going to sit around and feel defeated over stuff like that. It is food that is wandering into my mouth. I'm a smart ass woman. I'm pretty sure I can figure this out with a piece of paper and a pen. And I'm going to write this down and I'm not going to take any bullshit excuses from myself. I don't care how bad I feel about it. That is like, guys, just because you feel bad about an overeat is not a good enough excuse anymore to not write about it, to not write down when it happened, have it in your journal. If you ever come to me and you want to solve a food problem, you better freaking have that planner filled out. Don't ask me to unravel your shit when you're not willing to do part of the work. And I want you all to think about this. So many of you want me to solve your overeating and you're not even willing to bring me the problem. The problem isn't that you're having effort eats. Here's the problem. You probably don't have them tracked in detail. That's the problem. The real problem is you're not showing up for you. You're so busy thinking that your effort eating is the problem. It's like, no, the effort eating is a symptom of you not wanting to see what it is you do in such reality that you're willing to start changing it. I'm going to tell you guys, when you really track everything and you're really looking at it, you will want to change things. You will get tired of seeing that bullshit. But most of you will want to quit rather than see the shit and make the change. You're going to want to end your suffering. I just suggest you end your suffering by doing the fuck something about it rather than quitting on yourself. So if you have effort moments, I don't have my planners. Well, that's like that's a staged prop back there. My planner's downstairs packed to take with me to Dallas. You need to have all your sheets filled out. Like the 30-day tracker, you need to know how many days you actually make a plan. And you need to, like, every day that you're off plan, it should have a recovery worksheet with it. Like, you either want to solve your problem or you don't, guys. I have given you everything you need to solve your problem. The main reason most of you will not solve your problem is self-judgment. It is the sentences that you will allow to run rampant in your brain. Your unconscious brain, it is going to send up every ounce of bullshit to you. And I want all of you to agree that that's okay. That just because your unconscious brain sends up old programming is no longer a good enough excuse to stop doing stuff you intellectually know with your reasoning brain will take you places. So when, like, it comes up and it's like, oh, you're terrible. You keep fucking it up every day at noon. You just can't say no. And all that comes on and I feel defeated. That is when your knee-jerk reaction needs, like, you need to turn on and say, and this is the exact moment we start writing stuff down. This is now how we respond to that line of thinking. I know that the moment I feel defeated, I know that the moment that I'm throwing shade at myself is the exact moment I should probably be writing down what happened. That is the best way for me to stop feeling defeated. The best way to stop feeling defeated, literally, guys, is to write down what happened and say, like, I love myself enough to do this right now. My lower brain, my unconscious brain, it's not that it doesn't love me. It doesn't know how to solve this. It only knows how to send up the same stuff that it's always sent up. That's all it knows how to do. My conscious brain's job is to love myself enough to do something different anyway, to think something different anyway. Until I do that enough, that it becomes the unconscious behaviors. It becomes the stuff that we automatically have. But when it comes to your effort eating, guys, the best way to solve it is to know exactly what's happening and when. Like the girl that said, like, I stress eat every single day. Like, when I'm stressed at work, I stress eat. You need to know exactly what kind of food you go for. You need to know exactly what kinds of things stress you. Like, this happens and I think this. You need to dial all that in. And then when you're very aware of all of that, then you get to say, like, okay, now that I know all my patterns and stuff, it's time to start being aware of them. So the next time they come up, here's my planned response for myself. This is what I'm going to be doing. This is going to be how I reroute my brain from going from the normal, like, I should go get them Cheetos. Where's that Snicker bar? Like, whatever it is, like, now my brain is going to be like, when I want to do that, I know I need to do this because I've watched it so much. I know that sounds like a long haul, but I'm going to tell you guys right now, the longest way to weight loss is to start shit, quit shit, start shit, quit shit, get a little progress, derail yourself, beat yourself up, set yourself back a little bit, go, oh wait, I gotta quit this one too. Now I gotta go find another one. Most of you have been doing the longest weight loss program ever, and it's that one. That has to stop. And so you're gonna have to take my route, which has a lot of uncovering shit, but has a promise at that back end. You'll figure yourself out more. You'll learn how to, like, for my stress eater, we won't be solving efforts. You know what we'll be doing? Solving how you respond to stress. Usually when you take the food away, like when you get very aware of what's going on and all this other stuff, one of two things will happen. You'll either learn how to quit eating over stress and manage it different, or you'll start figuring, like, why am I even letting this stress me out to begin with? Oh, it's a bunch of bullshit thoughts I have about the pressure I put on myself. Maybe I should work on that. Like, there's so many byproducts to, like, unraveling things. All right, I got to move on. We're never going to get out of here. What advice would you give for the thought, I should eat more food at dinner since I'm not eating after, even though I do not think I'm eating past at 2? I would just say, like, I'm stopping at a plus 2, and that's going to be more than enough. I don't need extra food because I'm not going to eat extra food later. Like, what I was going to eat after dinner was extra. So I don't need extra now to make me feel okay about extra. Is it okay to overplan and not eat everything on the plan? I think that's fine. It allows you to start practicing in the beginning, making decisions. I've been eating about 3/4 of what I plan in the day and look at it as winning when I don't eat everything on the plan. I'd rather write down everything and not cheat than to start something that is not on the plan. Have been paying attention to the house girl. I think that's fine, Wendy. Water. It's easy for me to drink all my water at night, but it's better to drink all through the day or no different. It's no different, just as long as you're getting it. Sometimes I miss food for pleasure. Any advice on finding the same intensity of pleasure in other things? You're never going to find the same intensity of pleasure. Food is designed to give you a false amount of pleasure. That'd be like saying, I really miss cocaine. Like, God, it was them highs. Girl, they were outrageous. What could I do to get, like, the same kind of rush cocaine gave me? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to learn how to like a lowered amount of pleasure. That's what you're going to be conditioning yourself to. So finding things that give you more sustained pleasure. This is the problem with like food and cocaine. And I'm going to tell you, when they look at some of the, a lot of the foods that we all love have the same kind of immediate spike in pleasure control centers as like things like drugs. So don't think I'm being super ridiculous when I say that. But you're wanting to go like, I want to have this kind of pleasure. Boom, boom, boom. And what I'm looking for is for you to be able to be having pleasure that's more like this. It's sustainable and it doesn't have a dramatic drop off. Like food pleasure, cocaine pleasure and stuff has like big time highs and big time lows. And then you really want it. And so what we want to do is we want to start finding pleasure like delighting in our life. Like spending time, a lot of you need to spend some time like acknowledging the things you're doing right. Like one of the things that I'm getting ready to do for the Queen's Club is I'm actually going to do a couple things. The first thing that I want to do something for maintenance. Like we're going to talk about maintenance protocol and all these things. We have so many of you losing all of your weight or getting so close that I want to kind of teach you about some of the concepts of maintenance. The other one is, and the coaches don't even know about this, but I'm really wanting to come like build a really good lesson on like, welcome to Queen's Club. Like, here's things to think about. Like, this is the steps that I want you to follow. Now that you've lost 25 pounds, I want you to take this one workshop and do these things to set you up for the next 25 plus pounds that you're going to be needing to do. Please do not ask me when this is coming out. It is probably for the Queen's Club going to be about September, October. I want to get with the coaches on whether or not I'm going to have, like, I have a lot of good ideas for it, but this is all like stuff that's rumbling around in my head. I've been doing a lot of thinking about you guys. Every time when I do a quarterly, like this is the stuff I want to accomplish in 90 days and stuff. Right now, some of that is the stuff that I'm really working on. So we want to just make sure that we're smoothing it out. So like doing some work on, you know, like weekly gratitude work, like here are the things I'm most proud that I did for myself this week. And for the next week, these are the things that I really want to do for myself that I will feel so proud at the end of the week. Finding things like reading, you know, like good music, like that. It's pleasure like this. It will never equal food highs. On my recovery worksheets, I found that eating in my bed, watching TV is a complete danger zone. And I quit eating in bed. That is where a majority of my overeats or off-plan eats occur. This week, I chose to stop eating in my bed. My brain is throwing a fit. Oh, yeah, it will. Because it's associated laying down in your bed. Like, this is a triggers thing. This is where we eat. It's just like the pantry for a lot of people. Some girls, the car is. Like, and at some point, like, it's not going to be like, well, I've made a decision to love myself and not eat in bed. This is going to be easy. No. It's going to feel like shit. Your brain's going to want to eat. I don't know if the goal of a week is too big. I just keep going. I have tried one day at a time and still ate cereal in the bed last night. Do I need to kick my own ass or break it down further? You need to like keep going. Just because you ate cereal last night doesn't mean you get to have food today. Like, don't sit there and equate like, well, I didn't do what I said I would do last night because my brain threw a fit. So now I'm going to like set a smaller goal. It's like, no, keep going. Tell yourself, that doesn't mean tonight we need to eat. We need to like sit there and we need to think about like, is this like, what I would do is I'd do a recovery worksheet. I would sit there and I would say like, the reason why eating in bed is no good for me are all these things, and paint it to be a terrible picture and do it every single day. When you first get into bed, write about how wonderful it is to not eat in bed. And if you were to eat in bed, what the terrible payoffs are. Do that every day for 2 weeks. Give your brain something to think about while you're practicing not doing it. We did this in a program. I don't know if we still have this program, but it was probably a couple years ago where I talked about when it comes to habits and stuff, when you're wanting to break a bad habit, like eating in bed and overeating and stuff, one of the things that your brain thinks it's a reward right now. It only thinks like, it's like cereal. Are you kidding? Why is she telling us not to eat cereal? It's so good. It'd be even better if we're just eating it like this in front of the TV, right? Your brain doesn't recognize that that behavior has a negative consequence. It only thinks it has a positive. Now, the next day when you feel like ass about it and you don't like yourself over it, that's too late. It's not made the immediate negative consequence. This is why I tell you guys, when you eat off plan, you need to do a recovery worksheet. You need to get it down in your 24-hour plan. It needs to be a punishment to your brain. Now, that is not you going like, you're so terrible. Blah, blah, blah. It's not bitching at yourself. It's like, okay, so you mean every single time I overeat, Corinne, every effort, every single thing, I got to do recovery worksheet and I got to do it in the planner? Well, that sounds like it sucks. It's like, yeah, exactly. I want your brain to say that. Here's what your brain is saying. Let's just eat. That'll be great. It just thinks it's all reward central. Until you start putting a punisher in there and associating that bad habit with a lot of work, your brain is going to be like, it's so easy to do this. So hard to do all this other stuff. It's like, all right, but we need to do that so that your brain is like, you know, if you eat cereal in bed, we have to do a recovery worksheet. You got to do this thingy. You got to do all these things. It will not want to go through those hurdles. So it won't do the eating. That is how the magic all works. Not only do you start uncovering patterns of how to unravel the desire on the front end, but you also give it a negative consequence that has to happen if you do it. So from at all angles, you're coming at these habits like a beast. And then it gets easier and easier to say no to them. But if you're just sitting there going, I know eating in bed is bad for me. How do I just make that go away? It's like, guys, there's no flip of a switch. I'm never going to tell you a thought. Here's the only thought I'd ever be able to give you that would make it flip like a switch. And if you want it, you can have it. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like it. Think of the person you love most in the world. They've got a gun to their head. I'll kill them if you keep doing that. If you don't lose all your weight, I'm going to murder your family. I guarantee you, all of you would just be like, fuck me. I didn't realize I joined some kind of like weird ass mafia. They're going to kill my family if I don't lose weight. All of you would probably go out and lose all the weight you want. And I'd be like, and we're like the Fight Club. You can't tell people that that's what happens when you come in here, but I kill families. That's what I do. Like, that would be the one thing. Outside of like that, y'all pretty much gonna have to just do some work. And what's amazing to me is that if you did want to just decide, like, I want all of you to just think about this for a second. If you didn't have bullshit drama, if you didn't choose negative thinking about yourself, if you didn't buy into the idea that you can't do this, that stress is too much. Like if all of that, all of those thinking things that you have about you and your abilities, if all of that was set aside, could you lose weight? Every one of you could. Every one of you would tell me, it's like, well, yeah, if I just, you know, like if when it was time to eat, if I could just tell myself no, and I could just handle like a lot of chatter, yeah, I could lose weight. All we gotta do is learn how to handle chatter then, right? All we gotta do is learn how to think differently, right? That's really all we have to learn how to do. And that's what I'm trying to like teach you guys, how to like start processing this stuff different. The problem is that if you can't turn it on like a switch, then I need you to at least get the faucet dripping so we can start filling something up. I need you to sit there and I need you to do those recovery worksheets and I need you to write everything down and I need you to be willing to, like, in that moment when you want to argue that you're not going to do the recovery worksheet, you're going to argue that you're not going to do a 24-hour plan and stuff, I need you to argue for your future more than your immediate, like, I just don't want to see my own bullshit. Your future wants you to see your bullshit so you can start changing it. How important is it to sit at the table to eat? It doesn't matter if you sit at the table or not, as long as if you're sitting, like, you're sitting on the couch, it's like, sit at your table if that's going to be enough of a change to help you gain authority over your mind and your food when you're eating. If you can do it on the couch, do it on the couch. It's not so much about, is it actually at the table? It's, if you go to the couch, are you setting yourself up to just start going unconscious and eat? I've watched a lot less TV since I joined in April because I know that's where I usually get urges. What can I do to eliminate the habit if I do want to enjoy TV again? You probably have extinguished a lot of that urge. Start adding TV back in deliberately. Just say, like, and now I'm going to watch this amount of TV and I'm not eating. And you just tell yourself, we won't be eating during this. You're making me cry at work. I need to value myself. There has been a lot of heavy things lately, and since I don't have food to run to, I'm feeling it all. Exactly. And that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to feel everything that's going on in our lives so we can figure out how we're going to deal with our lives. What happens is most of you don't want to feel anything, and you want to keep rushing around, and you don't really deal with your life. Your problems just sit there. I'm journaling, but feel like I'm plunging into depression, anxiety, and affecting others. You can't affect other people no matter what. You're going to want to think you are so that you can start eating again. But I don't care how depressed or anxious you are. That's on them to deal with what they're dealing with. You need to be dealing with your depression and anxiety. Somebody who's having depression and anxiety, the last thing they need to do is try to manage other people's feelings. You don't even know how to manage yours yet. Why would you ever think that you should be manipulating and changing and affecting someone else's feelings? How do I deal with the past, the emotions now, and move past the emotions now? You're not going to move past those emotions. You need to be actually feeling those emotions. You need to be asking yourself, when I'm feeling anxious, it's because I'm thinking these things. You need to do models, Candy. Models, models, models. No BS. Module 4. I want you doing thought downloads on your, like, the reason why I'm depressed today is because I keep thinking and then let it loose. Take some of those models you do and get them to ask coaches. That is the fastest way for you to make progress right now. Get on, like, Candy, if you really want to help yourself, look at the call list. When do we have office hours? Like, guys, if I was you guys, if I had problems, we offer so much live coaching in this tribe. There is no other membership doing this. I'm going to tell you right now, I know all the other memberships. I'm in a mastermind with all the other memberships. My mentor runs a membership. We have the most available hours in coaching time ever. If I had problems, I would be on pnptribe.com. I'd be looking at that calendar and I'd be like, I will move heaven and earth to be on a call. And if I really wanted to solve my problem, I would every single day, I'd be like, ask coaches. I would like, here's my TDL. Here's the model I'm working on. Help me. Like you either want to solve your problem or you don't, guys. You have every tool you need. And let me just tell you this, because I do this with, like, this is how I work. It's like, when I have a problem, I am in my group asking questions. I have my own memberships I belong to. I am always asking for help. I am like the asshole that will ask for help until they tell me to stop. I also listen to every call. Now, I know I put out a fuck ton of calls, but if I had a problem with depression, I would every single day, I would be like in that pnptribe.com looking at video replays. Where are all the depression calls? Where are all the anxiety calls? Anything that was involved with my problem, I'd have that stuff just, I'd be showering, shitting, and shaving with it constantly. Like this morning, I ended up listening to 3 different trainings this morning while getting packed, getting showered, and getting my walk done. And I journaled and made my plan for the day. I've been up since 5. I just don't waste time. To me, time's too valuable. And the one thing that I will never do is say like, oh, well, I was listening to the news. Oh, I was like, when I was in the shower, I didn't want to be listening to something. I just want to be sitting there being depressed and hating my body. That's what I want to be doing. Like, so many of you spend your idle time allowing your brain, like all of you that don't like yourselves, listen to shit the least. Well, that just triggers me. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Your shit's running on repeat all the time. I would always be listening to something that might offer me a thought to think different. Every single time. Does anyone else find that they think about food all the time? It's actually annoying. I'm always thinking about the food, not because I want to eat it, but it's just always on my brain and it's annoying. You're going to have to shut it down. This is just, Jennifer, this is an easy solve. When it comes down, not time to think about food. I've already wrote it down. Like, you just keep saying, oh, I got a 24-hour plan, not thinking about that. It will take you probably 2 to 3 weeks right now, like, of shutting it down before your brain will quit going to it. Right now, the only reason why it keeps thinking about food all the time is because you're letting it go there and then being frustrated that it's going there rather than redirecting it. What if you have an overeat but are not in the position to write about it? If you have hours go by and then you have another one still not in the position to write about it and then forget about them all. You'll never forget about them all. You just won't. Like, I would just do is what you can remember as best you can. Your brain will start cataloging it better. If you quit telling yourself like, well, I don't have time and I've got all this stuff. I've already had 2 overeats. I'm not going to write it down this time. I probably forgot it anyway. Or I forgot it. I guarantee you remember what you ate. You probably remember where you were. You remember some details. Start making your brain, like right now what you're teaching your brain is, oh, when you overeat, I need you to not catalog any details. If you still have to go and do a recovery worksheet, even if it's hours later, you're going to have to go back and deliberately try to piece it together rather than getting frustrated if you don't remember every detail. Just be like, I'm going to write down every detail I can and guess, even if I think I might be wrong. Then what happens is when you start overeating, your brain is like, oh yeah, we're going to have to do that recovery worksheet. We better remember what the fuck's going on. That's some magic. Then you start like writing it down and remembering it and stuff. Worst case scenario, get your phone out, record. This is what I just ate. This is where I was. That was some bullshit. Those who won't will do. I have been watching the scale every day for 2 years and have a lot of success. But now I have 16 pounds to go and it's like time is standing still. I feel like it's depressing me. It can't depress you. Remember, if you feel depressing, like I've got 16 pounds to go, the depressing thought is time is standing still. That's the problem thought. I'm happy with how I feel physically. How do I stop focusing on so much on this scale number after doing it for so long? I would still just weigh every day and decide what that number is going to mean. Right now you're deciding it means time is standing still. I would just be like, I've got 16 pounds to go. Probably should double down. I'd ask myself, what am I doing today to lose that 16 pounds? I'm ready to finish the journey. You could be thinking 1,000 different things about that 16 pounds versus time is standing still. If your weight's not moving, then your thought could be it's time to be curious. Because what lost all that weight will not be what loses the last 16. There will be changes that have to be made. And I either am going to want to do them or I'm not, but I'm at least going to explore the idea of what I'm willing to try and what I'm willing to do rather than sitting around thinking that somehow this is just happening outside of me and depressing me. It's all happening. Lisa says, I don't want to be recorded on camera. It's always amazed me that's the only way to access one-on-one. Why don't you want to be recorded on camera is my question, Lisa. We don't share it outside of the tribe. If we ever share anything outside of the tribe, it's because we have like have expressed written, I don't share your stuff outside the tribe unless you have said, I am willing to share myself outside the tribe. Like, and you have to, like, we would reach out to you. But I'm just curious why you wouldn't want to be seen on camera. The main reason why I have you guys do the camera stuff is because it's easier for me to coach you if I see your face. If I don't see your face, here's what happens. I don't know your face. Like, yesterday I was coaching someone, and this is what she said. I was I said to do something, and she was like, like that. I wouldn't catch that. And I'm like, that's the exact reaction I want to know. Because when you do that, then I know you're telling me some bullshit. Or I know that that's exactly what needs to be happening. Your face is so important to me helping you. But I would like to know why you don't want to be seen on camera. If it's a really good reason, like, well, I have some kind of private job or something like that. But let me just say, if it's some bullshit that I don't like the way I look, then that's not a good reason to stall you out on helping yourself. That's what I often see. All right, I work in an industry that is behind the scenes. It's how I roll. Okay, well, then you're also going to roll behind the scenes with your weight loss. Do you want those two things? Like, just because that's where you work in an industry, does that need to be how you roll with your weight loss? Behind the scenes. I mean, that's a choice, and that's fine. But I'm not going to be showing you off to anybody. And I'm going to tell you, 85% of the people like who do our stuff do it all through the Private Member Podcast. They never see your face anyway. Very rarely do people actually watch the videos. Let's see. Do you have anything else you want to say about that, Lisa? I would just encourage you to explore this thing of like, because I work in an industry that's behind the scenes, is that a good enough excuse for me to not get coaching? If it is, if that's your reason and you love it and you're like, yeah, like it's solid, I would totally stay with it. But if it's like, oh, well, I don't know. I've just been saying that and I never even questioned whether it's true or relevant. That's a whole different thing, right? And that's one of the things I think a lot of us do is like, we just have these thoughts that we keep and we never even question them. Like, should I even like continue to think that? It's also a choice to only offer one-to-one to members willing to be on camera. I get it. Yeah. And we just do it on camera because honestly, it's just better for me as a coach. We used to say, like, if you want to turn your camera off, you can. And what we have found is that for the person getting coached, they said that it wasn't as impactful. They felt like they were hiding and they were able to not answer as honestly. And that's the main reason why we stopped doing it. We did it a long time ago. And we actually had people write in and say that. Because what happens is when you're not on camera, if you don't want to pay attention, it's really easy to not pay attention. If you want to, like, if I can't see if we're making, like a lot of times when you're on camera too, I can tell when I've hit a chord. I can't always see that otherwise. Even when our coaches, they do, we have a new program rolling out in August, but a lot of you know that we do offer some private coaching. We just haven't like put it out to the tribe and stuff. They do it all on Zoom also. They don't do, we don't do phone calls. We do things through Zoom. And we do that on purpose just because it just ends up working out better. Okay, I think that's it. Guys, I hope you have an amazing day. I'm headed to Dallas. If you're coming to the Dallas meetup tonight, I will see you. I think it's at 5:30 at the restaurant at the hotel. And I can't wait. I'm going to be dressed in casual clothes because Mama's on her period. I'm swelled up and it is killing me. So there is no blue jeans going on this uterus today. If I'm in jeans by the end of the day, it is because I finally stopped swelling so much. So y'all have a good one and I will talk to you soon. Bye y'all.